I'm back, Matt Rothschild, back at the podium for a second to simply introduce Dr. Jill Stein, who's running for President of the United States on the Green Party ticket. Jill Stein actually grew up in my hometown of Highland Park, Illinois. And I can tell you she's no slouch. She graduated from Harvard Medical School and practiced internal medicine in Massachusetts for many years, focusing on the environmental threats to children's health and the health of the elderly. She's been a Green Party activist for at least 10 years now. Actually, she ran against Mitt Romney once before in the governor's race back in 2002 in Massachusetts, so she knows all about Mitt Romney. She also knows all about corporate Democrats, too. You know, Joe Biden was in the state last week, and Obama's coming next week or the week after that. I guess it's nice to know that they finally can find Wisconsin on the map. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to vote on November 6th, and I hate when people tell me how to vote on November 6th, but I do want to say two things. One, we shouldn't sneer at people or scold people who want to register their protest by voting for Jill Stein and the Green Party. We shouldn't do so because they're trying to build a progressive alternative to the duopoly of the two corporate parties, and we desperately need an alternative to that duopoly. And secondly, we should never sneer at progressives or scold progressives who are protesting. We shouldn't repress the impulse to protest against injustice because that's the most important impulse in our bodies. I give you Jill Stein.
Thank you all so much. Thank you, Wisconsin. Thank you, Fighting Bob, for bringing us to a really historic moment that we are in right now. Because as you know, there is a struggle going on for the soul of America, and that struggle started right here in Wisconsin. And the question is, which Wisconsin is going to win? Will it be the Wisconsin of Paul Ryan, the big spender turned deficit hawk, after voting for 65 different bills that added $7 trillion to the national deficit? Or will it be another campaign that borrowed the Wisconsin motto, forward, but whose policies are business as usual that's taking us backward, and whose candidates somehow couldn't find the time, or I should say, wouldn't find the time, to come help Wisconsin in its hour of greatest need? Or will it be the Wisconsin of Fighting Bob and Belle La Follette and their brand of independent, progressive politics that lives on today, that all of us here represent, and that my campaign is proud to carry into the 2012 presidential election? And that's why my campaign is headquartered here in Madison, Wisconsin. We don't have to come here and visit because we live here. And we live here because the purpose of our campaign is to bring that spirit of the Wisconsin uprising to the nation and make it go national, because that is what this nation needs now. Having crisscrossed this country for 10 months, I can definitely report that the La Follette spirit is on the loose and that the Wisconsin uprising lives on. The recall failed, it's true, but that recall was not the uprising. There was no way to pack the uprising into an establishment campaign that virtually dropped collective bargaining and bragged that it was not labor's choice. In fact, the spirit of that uprising is still rising all around us in the Chicago's teacher union strike, in the Occupy protests that still go on, in the student rallies against tuition hikes, in eviction blockades, in Keystone Pipeline mass arrests, and in yesterday's decision by the Dane County Circuit Judge that the Walker Law violates state and U.S. Constitution and is null and void. And that's why this is an historic moment, because democracy and justice are breaking out all around us. And as they do, people are breaking away from the establishment politics that got us here in record numbers. Which means we can make this election a powerful tipping point to take back the promise of democracy and the peaceful, just, green future we deserve, and we deserve it now. We need that tipping point because we are at the breaking point for people, the planet, the economy, and our democracy. And we've come to this breaking point thanks to both establishment parties. They have delivered crisis after crisis. And on most key issues, in fact, the Obama White House has embraced the destructive policies of George Bush and even gone far beyond. If I can remind you, because you will be asked by your friends and your colleagues and your neighbors and your families why you are standing up in this election. And the reality is that yes, Obama has gone much further than George Bush could go, because under Democrats, unfortunately, the opposition goes to sleep. So under Barack Obama, we've gotten much bigger, massive bailouts for Wall Street. $700 billion under George Bush, but $4.5 trillion under Barack Obama, and that's just money dispersed. Add to that another $16 trillion in free loans. More of these corporate free trade agreements that offshore our jobs and undermine wages here at home. And in fact, Barack Obama advanced three new free trade agreements. Bill Clinton brought us NAFTA. George Bush continued to enact NAFTA, but it took a Democrat to actually expand the free trade agreements. And now we hear that he's negotiating a secret Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is basically NAFTA on steroids. Exactly. We're hearing again the threats to Medicare and Social Security. And remember where they started a year ago. I remember it because that's the reason I got into this race. To me, it was unconscionable to let both Democrats and Republicans lead the charge to dismantle Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. And I felt that, you know, for me, it would just be unconscionable to sit on the sidelines and let this go unchallenged. I don't know if you heard Bill Clinton defend the Democratic policy on Medicare at the DNC. I was really shocked. What he said was, because both the Democrats and Republicans are looking to cut Medicare by $700 billion over the next decade. They'll do it in different ways, but they have the same target. And what he said to Paul Ryan to try to rebut him, his pointing out that the Democrats were doing the same thing, Bill Clinton said, well, who are you? You know, who are you to accuse us of cutting Medicare because you're doing the same thing? That's not enough. We need to be standing up and expanding Medicare, in fact, so that we have Medicare for everyone. and on the foreclosure crisis, on the skyrocketing student debt, on the attacks on our imperiled civil liberties. Barack Obama actually embraced the attacks of George Bush and codified the violations of George Bush and went far beyond him to actually write into law the criminalization of protests, indefinite detentions, and these incredible attacks and assassinations on anyone at any time, anywhere, without having to so much as justify it to a court of law or accuse people of a crime. You know, it's staggering, the attack on immigrant rights, whereby this president deported more people in the first 3 years of his administration than George Bush had deported in 8 years. This is not okay. The attacks on medical marijuana and the plundering of our environment and the wrecking of the climate, the undermining of the climate accords at Durban, and suggesting that, oh, we can wait until 2020, when in fact the science has made clear we cannot wait till 2020, and the science has proven to be far too optimistic. We can't wait till 2020, we can't wait till 2016. We need to stand up now. Not only to stop the Keystone Pipeline, we need to stop fracking. We need to stop the opening up of our Arctic and our national parks and our offshore oil. We need to say no to a whole new generation of nuclear power plants that this president has undertaken in the wake of the ongoing Fukushima disaster, no less. So have we had enough? So when you hear the different narratives between the national Democratic and Republican operatives, remember, that's the talk, but it's the walk that counts. And there's now 4 years of walk for a Democratic White House, two of them under a Democratic Congress, and it's walking us backwards. It's accelerating us backwards in the wrong direction. And now, as the super rich continue to get richer, they're not offering anything new. If you paid attention here, they're just saying, be patient. It takes a long time. Well, it doesn't take a long time. When you want to do the right thing, we can start fixing this right now. So that's why people like you and I are standing up in a way that the world hasn't seen in a generation, in many generations, actually. We're a movement that's alive and well across America, and we are here to stay. We deserve a voice in this election and a choice at the polls, because voting for either Wall Street candidate, either Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, gives them a mandate for 4 more years of corporate rule. Even if in your mind it's a reluctant vote, in their mind it's validation for 4 more years of the same. For democracy, for the 99%, and for the planet. To achieve that future as president, I will work to deliver a Green New Deal for America, a package of emergency reforms that puts 25 million people back to work, that jumpstarts the green economy, and that economy can begin to put a halt to climate change and make wars for oil obsolete. Woo! It reforms not only our economy, but our financial system and our democracy as well. And it's not just an academic idea. It's based on a program that actually worked. It's tried and true. The New Deal that got us out of the Great Depression in the 1930s. The economic reforms of the New Deal, the Green New Deal, will create living wage, community-based jobs. And communities get to decide what kind of jobs they need to to become sustainable, not only ecologically, but also socially and economically. And for starters, that means jobs in the green areas of the economy, in clean manufacturing, local organic agriculture, public transportation, including active transportation, and clean renewable energy. And it also jumpstarts the jobs we need to meet our needs socially, for teachers, for nurses, for childcare, after school, home care, senior care, violence and drug abuse prevention, rehabilitation, and affordable housing construction. The New Deal will also create an immediate moratorium on home foreclosures and evictions. We could have done this 4 years ago. The president actually was given $300 million by Congress in order to buy up the foreclosures of threatened homes and to negotiate with homeowners, and he did not do it, saying that it was moral hazard. Well, the real moral hazard is in the Wall Street crooks who got us into this mess to start with. They need to be brought to justice, which this president has refused to do. It's time to hold the bankers accountable, and the war criminals accountable, for that matter, not the homeowners. We need to bail out the homeowners. The Green New Deal guarantees health care for all, for everyone as a human right under Medicare for all. It provides not only quality, comprehensive health care for everyone, but it restores your choice of the healthcare provider, and the healthcare treatments that you want puts you back in control of your own healthcare decisions instead of having a profiteering insurance executive make those decisions for you. And a well-kept secret, it saves us money. It doesn't cost us money. It saves us trillions of dollars over the coming decade, because it gets rid of that massive, wasteful health insurance bureaucracy that's gobbling up 30% of every healthcare dollar, and it stabilizes medical inflation, which is actually one of the biggest drivers of the growing costs of healthcare over the coming decade. So we got two ways to solve our national debt if we look at this alone. We could solve our national debt crisis by implementing austerity, or by creating health care for everyone as a human right. They would both save us the same amount of money. So how about it? How about health care, the solution to our debt crisis? And we need to forgive the crushing student debt burden and liberate an entire generation of young people who've been turned into indentured servants. Tuition-free public education from pre-kindergarten through college. Investing in college education, free public higher education, that saves us money as well. We know from the GI Bill, we've already done this. For every dollar we invest, we get $7 in return in benefits to the economy. We do have the money to do this. We don't have the money not to do it. The Green New Deal also creates a financial system that's free from domination by the big banks and well-connected financiers who've hijacked both our economy and our democracy. Instead, we'll create a system that's open, honest, stable, and serves the real economy, not the phony economy of high finance. We'll end the bailouts and the corporate giveaways and ensure that the resources are available for investing in our communities, for consumers, for small businesses, and worker cooperatives. We'll break up the big banks that are too big to fail. We'll restore the separation of commercial and speculative banks, regulate all financial derivatives, democratize the monetary supply, and tax capital gains like income, tax Wall Street transactions, and put a 90% tax on the banker bonuses for the bailed out bankers. And to secure those reforms, we also need a functioning democracy, which we don't have today. So to start with, we've got to end the domination of our elections by corporations and big money. We need a constitutional amendment to clarify corporations are not people. Money is not speech. The Green New Deal will also undercut the power of lobbyists and billionaires to control our election by enacting a voter bill of rights. It will guarantee a voter-marked paper ballot for all voting and that all votes are counted. It will bring simplified, same-day voter registration to the nation so no qualified voter is barred from the polls. We'll replace partisan oversight of elections with nonpartisan election commissions. We'll restore the votes of 1.4 million African American men who are barred from voting because they are ex-felons. And we will implement election reforms like instant runoff voting and proportional representation that more accurately reflect voter sentiment and take the fear out of voting. And we will take money out of politics and replace it with full public finance and free and equal access to the airwaves. And we will guarantee equal access to the ballot and to the debates for all qualified candidates. And I want to urge you right now to go to our website, jillstein.org. We've begun a petition drive as part of an initiative called Occupy the Commission on Presidential Debates, or Occupy the CPD, a private corporation run by the Democratic and Republican parties, has no business cutting off full and fair debate that the American people deserve, and we are not going to stand for it. Begun in my campaigns at the state level in Massachusetts, our campaigns have always been locked out of the debates, but we have always managed to fight our way in by mobilizing the public that wants a full and fair debate, and we are determined to do the same thing in this election. So I'll just mention a couple other quick things, that beyond the Green New Deal, we must also bring the troops and the war dollars home from the illegal and immoral wars, including the proliferating drone wars, and we do not want to bring the drones home. We want to retire the drones right now and bury them at sea. We need a foreign policy which is based not on militarism and the protection of oil resources. We need to replace that with a foreign policy based on diplomacy, established on the basis of respect for international law and human rights. We will restore our civil liberties by repealing the Un-American Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, H.R. 347, and other laws that criminalize protest and direct our police to spy on nonviolent dissenters. And we will work to end the failed and racist war on drugs, starting with legalizing marijuana and putting it into a safe regulatory framework. Because is a substance that is dangerous because it's illegal. It's not illegal because it's dangerous. It's not dangerous. And finally, I will end the bipartisan war on immigrants and stand up against the discriminatory laws like the remnants of Arizona's SB 1070, and stand up to the racist demagoguery that wrongly blames immigrants for the unemployment brought on by Wall Street's abuse of the economy. And I will end Obama's misnamed Secure Communities program, which has deported over 1 million immigrants, heartlessly splitting families and taking thousands of children away from their parents. With that track record, the Obama White House has been the most anti-immigrant administration in a century. And we will replace the so-called free trade agreements, which generate economic refugees in the first place. These will be replaced with fair trade agreements that respect workers in this country and in Latin America, and stop generating an immigration crisis for the people who are forced to migrate. We need these solutions. People agree with them in large majorities in poll after poll. Why don't we have them? A big reason, as you know, are these fear campaigns of the past decade that have been telling us we have to just be quiet and vote your fears. But we've done that for long enough now. There's a 10-year track record here that shows us silence is not an effective political strategy. And in fact, the politics of fear has brought us everything we were afraid of. All those reasons we were told to be quiet, we've gotten in droves because we've been quiet. From the expanding war to the more massive Wall Street bailouts, the offshoring of our jobs, the expanding free trade agreements, the attack on our civil liberties and immigrant rights, the meltdown of the climate, it has all gotten much worse. In fact, even under Barack Obama, it has gotten worse. It's important to stand up to this fear-mongering and recognize it for what it is, a public relations campaign bought and paid for by the Wall Street parties intended to silence the political opposition. We need to stand up. It's time to answer the politics of fear with the politics of courage. As the Massachusetts radicals did when they took on the British East Indies Company and dumped the tea into the harbor and declared themselves free of King's Law. As Fighting Bob La Falla did with the Progressive Party and the People's Party and the Socialist Party, who stood up for workers' rights, for the right to unionize, for the 40-hour work week and safe working conditions. All of these movements forward required a social movement on the ground, and they required an independent political party to actually move the agenda forward, to bring those demands into the electoral realm, because without that, as Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, it never will. That demand needs to be there in the realm of electoral politics. It's not enough to vote with your feet. You've also got to vote with your vote if you really want things to change. That's what this campaign is all about, standing up and reclaiming our political voice and our political courage. Because the moment we do, the American people can no longer be ignored. We'll have a base from which we can build, and we can start to drive forward the critical solutions that people broadly support, but which Wall Street politicians have kept off the table, and which we are the only vehicle for in this election. We'll give people a choice and a voice in the voting booth, and enable them to go to the polls and vote for the Green New Deal and the reforms that will improve our lives right now. I ask for your vote, and I ask for something more. Help us break into the debates. Help us raise raise money, help form new Green Party locals all over the country, ensure that the voice of principled opposition will be heard now and into the future by standing up and pushing forward with this campaign for economic and political democracy, we signal to the world that we, the people, the 99%, have taken the political stage in the United States of America once again, and we will take the lead in our democracy. We will create an unstoppable movement together, and we won't rest until we turn the White House into a greenhouse and take back the promise of democracy and the peaceful, just, green future.